to Dusty Rhodes in 3, 2. Dusty, last night on WCW Saturday Night, we saw a shocking situation involving your son, Dustin Rhodes, and Barry Windham. They're the Unified World Tag Team Champions. It was announced this week that they would face Dr. Dusty Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy in a rematch, the rematch, should we say, at Halloween Havoc for the Unified World Tag Team Championship. My question to you is, what's going on between Barry and Dustin?
Well, Jim, I think it's just the opportunity for both guys and me being around both men. Of course, Dustin, my son, growing up with me and Barry Windham since 19 years old, I had Barry Windham. They both are real high strung. We had talked after last night's incident. I had talked to Barry at great length first before I talked to Dustin. Understanding this, not trying to interfere, which I haven't in the careers of Dustin and Barry Windham at this point, they gained something that is more precious to any athlete there is, and that is a World Heavyweight title. And being the World Heavyweight Champions, Unified Tag Team Champions, mean a lot to them. Sometime in the heat of battle, as Barry was saying, understanding the stubbornness that he has and the stubbornness that Dustin has, Dustin, from what I understand, he just went off on the handle, accepted the match, wanted to go for it. Barry trying to use his head, thinking about Halloween Havoc. If they don't get themselves together, as I told them both last night on two different phone conversations, if they don't get themselves together, they stand a good chance of getting their butt beat at Halloween Havoc, because Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy, I believe, are the finest tag team in the world today, and a victory over them gained them a tremendous amount of respect. But one victory does not make a war. One battle won does not make a war. I think that they can do it. I think if they put their mind together and get back into sync mentally, physically, we know they can do it. We've seen them do it. So mentally getting itself back together is very important for them. Every great team, every great athlete, me and Dick Murdoch, we had talked about that before. We had come on the air here. We had times where we disagreed on many things, whether it be a bar fly, whether it be a girl that we had met and the lady of the evening, late at night somewhere, and we would argue over that. And we've actually got out on the side of the road in our travels and had little fisticuffs. And we, next morning, we had breakfast. We went on about our business. We focused on one thing, being the greatest tag team of that era. So they have to do that, too. And that's going to happen with young kids like this, especially Dustin. He's living in a pressure situation with a dad that was of some notoriety, and Barry Windham, of course, with a dad of some notoriety. Now they're the tag team champions of the world. Mentally, they have to prepare for this thing. Like I told them last night, it's very simple, guys. If you want to be champions and you want to remain champions, then you have to get yourself mentally together. If not, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Bam Bam Gordy will go through them like crap through a goose.
Dusty, my final question, is it possible for them to put their differences aside between now and October the 25th?
Talking to Barry last night, I believe that he understands the situation that had happened with Dustin. I have a little more problem with Dustin because of his drive to be, first of all, he had stated it several weeks ago, I believe to you on a national televised program, that he wanted to be United States Heavyweight Champion. At the time, I said, well, if you feel you're ready, you need to make that statement. Don't make a statement. Or don't cash a check, you know, that you can't cover, you know. And Dustin right now feels that Barry is trying to overwhelm him a little bit in some of the situation. He just wants to be a part of it. I'm not taking sides with each guy. I mean, blood is thicker than water. We know that. And I love my blood, and I love Barry Windham. But I think the thing facing him right now is Dr. Dusty Williams and Terry Gordy to continue on with their success. They have to mentally prepare in a situation just like football. When you do the football game, them guys have to all be mentally prepared. All 40 or 50 or 21 or 11 and 11 guys have to be prepared when they go out there. And it's just like Andrew Rison. They got to put their thoughts with the coach behind them, and they got to play the game. So when the bell rings at Halloween Havoc, if they are mentally unprepared, I told them last night, boys, the check stop, the title stop, the girls stop screaming. So they got to be mentally prepared, and I think they will.
Ron Simmons interview in 3, 2. Well, Ron, the sand is pouring through the hourglass, as they say, as we get closer to Sunday, October 25th, the big pay-per-view spectacular. Your goal, you said it very clearly, is to headline this pay-per-view, the biggest pay-per-view in WCW history, as the world's heavyweight champion. There's no doubt that Ravishing Rick Rude, who does have a championship match with you between now and October 25th, has his sights on taking your title from you. And I know that's before we talk about the Barbarian, let's talk about Ravishing Rick Rude. How do you wrestle a man with this much experience? He's a different animal than a 300-pound monster like a Cactus Jack or like a Big Van Vader. How do you prepare for his quickness and his technique?
Well, you know something, Jim, you're absolutely right. And I got to give the devil his due. The man is a good professional wrestler. He's versatile. He's powerful, you know, tall, lean. He's got good, you know, mobility. But this is the thing. The preparation is this, being prepared for everything, not going in just focusing on one move or one certain hole or one area on the body, because he's so versatile. I've got to be on my P's and Q's as far as my wrestling skill, my endurance, my power. Everything has to be on the one. Everything has to be right on the perfect time, because the man has experience. He has ring time over me, so I've got to sharpen my skills up, you know, and make sure in between now and Halloween Havoc that I am still the world's heavyweight champion going into Halloween Havoc. Like you say, my hands are full right now with Ravishing Rick Rude, among others. But at Halloween Havoc, I plan to be the world's heavyweight champion still, and the Barbarian is another task. Here's a man that's 300 pounds, as you well know.
Right.
You know, 300 pounds plus, maybe, powerful, agile. You know, hey, my hands are going to be full once again.
Ron, my question in regard to that matchup is that Cactus Jack will be at ringside for this contest in Philadelphia, again on pay-per-view Sunday, October 25th. He'll be at ringside. He's not there just to be a strategist. He certainly is no Bobby Bowden as it relates to the Barbarian and his coaching. But so I think that you almost have to prepare that this man could certainly interfere in this match and could be a factor in the outcome.
Well, you know, something, there's no doubt, because you got to look at it this way. If you've seen Cactus Jack's match in the past, all of his damage has been done on the outside of the ring. And he's going to be on the outside of the ring. So I've got to make sure that not only am I keeping my focus on the Barbarian, but I've got to be aware of that Cactus is outside of the ring also. If something should happen to where I'm even near the ropes or outside of the ring, hey, there's another danger for me right there. But I've got to make sure that I keep my eyes focused on the Barbarian and can't be distracted by him on the outside, because, hey, and maybe, hopefully, between now and then, that he'll be barred from the ring.
You know, Ron, the AFC West, of which the Atlanta Falcons are a member, will have an off week that weekend. And I know a lot of your buddies from Florida State, Deion Sanders and Jamie Dukes and Jesse Solomon, Bobby Butler, they're all going to be cheering for Ron Simmons. And that's got to be a real motivating factor for those guys to be still standing behind you as you stand behind them as they play for the Falcons.
That's just the way it goes. Once a Seminole, we're always a Seminole. We stuck together when we were there, and we'll stick together outside of college. Wherever we go, we're still a team. And they're my boys. I say hello to them.
Douglas interview. We'll do this in 3, 2. Shane, you made quite an impression on the wrestling fans since returning to WCW, and you made a couple of interesting comments regarding Magnum TA. Of course, we all know that Magnum TA's career was cut prematurely short due to a car wreck. A lot of people said he would never walk again. He is walking again, and he's obviously a great inspiration to all of us, but apparently he's been a special inspiration to you.
You can underscore the word inspiration, Jim. You know, whenever I came into professional wrestling, in a tough sport that it is, I was lucky enough to have a man like Magnum TA, one of the greats in the sport, who unfortunately, as you said, his career was cut short. I had the fortune, good fortune, to have him take me under his wing, and he's taught me an awful lot about wrestling, the best of which he's taught me the belly-to-belly suplex. I've won an awful lot of matches here since being back. In fact, I'm defeated with the belly-to-belly. I've been very blessed with the good luck that I've had with the belly-to-belly and with the inspiration that Magnum TA has given me.
We saw recently you defeat Greg the Hammer Valentine. He seemed to be moving right up the ladder. The competition gets tougher and tougher. But there's a young man by the name of Flying Brian Pillman that looks like that you guys are on a meteoric rise, that somewhere those paths are going to cross.
That's right. You know something, since I came to World Championship Wrestling, I said I'm never going to back down from any challenge from any man. And I also said that I was never going to take a step away from any man. Since coming to World Championship Wrestling, the greatest wrestlers in the world, I've gone up against some of the very greats, and I've had the good fortune to beat them. As you move up that ladder, like you said, Jim, you meet some of the tougher and tougher competition, the Rick Rudes, the Van Vaders, and you've got some great athletes up above there, Stings, and so Ron Simmons is a great world champion. But you know something, Brian Pillman and I, you know, we came into the sport almost at the same time. He comes from a professional background. I come from an amateur background. And like you said, it's like two freight trains heading right toward each other. You know, I'll give Brian his credit. You know, he's been a great one here in World Championship Wrestling. He's held the light heavyweight title, and that makes him a great one, and that gives me the opportunity to say to myself, I've got to go to the ring at some point and face this man. He's gotten in my face a couple times I don't appreciate that. I'm not backing down from some point down the road. He and I are going to get in that ring face to face.
Ron Pillman interview. Start in 3, 2, 1. Brian, your athletic background is well documented. The fans are aware that you were a second-team All-American nose tackle behind William the Refrigerator Perry when you were at Miami of Ohio and the Refrigerator was at Clemson. Had an illustrious career, the Ed Block Courage Award, a tremendous career. Special teams, a kamikaze for the Bengals, special teams man for the Buffalo Bills, and had a great fan following here. And I certainly don't want to be argumentative with you because I respect your ability immensely, but I can't understand, and perhaps the fans can't understand, why the change of heart, why the change in philosophy for Flying Brian Pillman.
Well, the bottom line, Jim, you've been around world-class athletes, and I think I'm right there with the best of them, having, as you mentioned, excelled in the NFL and in the world of professional wrestling. I don't really consider it a change of heart. I'm still the same intense, focused individual. I've just basically cut the ball and chain off my leg. I'm looking for what's going to get me to the top of the world of professional wrestling, the place I deserve to be, being the great athlete that I am, and I'm just going to do whatever means it takes to accomplish that goal, whether it makes the fans happy or not. That's irrelevant.
You have been in recent weeks in some tag team situations with Stunning Steve Austin. Is that just a situation to where you both had the opportunity to join forces, or are we going to see more of you and Stunning Steve as a team in the future?
We're not sure at this point. We saw it as an opportunity for two world-class athletes to join forces and show the world of professional wrestling and the sports fans out there just the potential we have as a team. And I think we've demonstrated that potential. I think it's gotten a little bit scary for the top teams in the tag team division. I'm sure they'd be a little leery if we were to make the decision to tag up on a permanent basis.
So, Brian, what are your immediate goals right now? I guess that may be a somewhat of a silly question. I would assume your ultimate goal is to, somewhere down the road, wrestle Ron Simmons for the world's heavyweight title, or perhaps even Ravishing Rick Rude for the U.S. title. Would you have a philosophical problem wrestling someone like Ravishing Rick Rude?
Absolutely not. I consider him another fine athlete. It's up until recently, I didn't agree with some of his tactics, but I realize that he's gotten to the top. You know, he's the cream of the crop of professional wrestling right now, and so it's understandable that he utilized some of his motives and tactics in the past, and hopefully I can aspire to do the same.
Ravishing Rick Rude interview. It airs on Sunday, October the 18th only. Sunday, October the 18th only. In 3, 2. Last night on WCW Saturday Night, the bomb was dropped on Ravishing Rick Rude by Cowboy Bill Watts. Watts produced a contract that Paulie Dangerously had signed, committing Ravishing Rick Rude to wrestle at Halloween Havoc and defend the United States Heavyweight Championship. It was determined that it would be against Nikita Koloff. It's a no disqualification match. Medusa will be barred from ringside, which theoretically means that Ravishing Rick Rude must wrestle twice. In the NWA title match and in the U.S. title match, we're here with Ravishing Rick Rude. What are your thoughts about the things that have gone on this weekend?
What's gone on this weekend, Jim Ross, is an attempt by Bill Watts and WCW to railroad Ravishing Rick Rude right out of professional wrestling. Who ever heard of a man being forced to wrestle two times in one night?
Should you be blaming Cowboy Bill Watts, or should perhaps you be blaming your manager or your associate, Paulie Dangerously?
I don't know who holds the blame, Jim, but the bottom line is this. They're trying to rip me off, and it ain't going to work, because what Bo don't know, Ravishing Rick Rude does. And what I'm about to do would make Neon Dion look like a peon. You understand? I will retain my United States title from Nikita Koloff, and I will go on to become the National Alliance champion.
Paulie Dangerously interview. This will air on Sunday, October the 18th. Sunday, October 18th in 3, 2, 1. Paul, last night on WCW Saturday Night, on an up-close and personal interview with Tony Schiavone, you were really seemingly put on the spot. At the end of that interview, you seemed to be very exasperated regarding the conversation and the dialogue. I think this whole situation certainly needs to be clarified. I'm going to be giving you that opportunity to clarify the situation, but quite frankly, why did you commit Ravishing Rick Rude so early in the year to defend the United States title at Halloween Havoc this year?
The Dangerous Alliance was formed at Halloween Havoc in 1991 when Paulie Dangerously and Ravishing Recruit burst upon the scene in World Championship Wrestling. Halloween Havoc is going to be an anniversary for Rick Rude and myself, and it has such sentimental value for Ravishing Recruit and Paulie Dangerously and the Dangerous Alliance. I knew that the greatest United States heavyweight champion of all time would want to defend his belt on this show because, after all, it has such personal meaning to both Rude and myself.
All right, Paul, let's say that that is your motivation and your reasoning. What was your motivation? What was your reason for, in this contract, stipulating that in this match, Medusa would be barred from ringside? What caused that? What made you do that?
You see, there's an old cliche with boxers that say women weaken knees. Well, there's a lot of conspiracies against Ravishing Recruit and the Dangerous Alliance headed by Cowboy Bill Watts and the board of directors here in WCW. And I'm not going to ask you to confirm or deny it, but you know it in your heart, Jim. You see, Medusa is just an added pressure for Ravishing Recruit. She's abroad. He has to look after her. And though she's very, very intelligent, she is just another broad who's under the employ of the Dangerous Alliance. Now, I know in my heart that Ravishing Recruit can defeat both Koloff and Chono in one night. Medusa must know that too in her heart, but she doesn't give Rick the confidence that she used to anymore. Just listen to Rick's interview with you earlier in the day. You could hear the desperation in Rick Rude's voice. You could hear the nervousness in his voice. You could even hear maybe fear out of Ravishing Rick Rude. And Rick Rude is the most fearless competitor I've ever seen in my life, and I really did it because I love Rick Rude like a brother. And Rick Rude is my best friend in the world, and I want to give him back the self-esteem that he so rightfully deserves. His ego has taken a terrible beating at the hands of WCW, and I want to prove to Rick and the world that he doesn't need Medusa or me at ringside to win any one or two matches.
This is a Medusa interview. Airs on Sunday, October the 18th. We start in 3, 2. This is the Medusa interview that will air on Sunday, October the 18th. In 3, 2. Medusa, earlier, Paulie Dangerously used a rather crude choice of words in describing you. I shall not repeat that. You heard what he had to say. It has been a very controversial weekend for the Dangerous Alliance, for specifically Ravishing Rick Rude, yourself, and Paulie Dangerously, finding out that Rude must wrestle twice now at Halloween Havoc due to Paulie signing a contract for him to compete for the U.S. title at Halloween Havoc coming up on October the 25th. It seems as if to me that the man that hired you, the CEO of the Dangerous Alliance, Paulie Dangerously, has lost some confidence in your ability and the reason that you were hired. I understand you were hired to take care of Rick Rude's every need. What is your impression of what Paulie Dangerously has said about this situation and about the events of this weekend?
My impression of Paulie Dangerously is this. Paulie Dangerously is his own worst enemy. His problem here is that I was hired as covert director of covert operations. And I am. Paulie Dangerously is scared of his own shadow. At the moment, he is weak. I'm not weak. I take care of Rick Rude, and Rick does not have a problem. You heard the interview. He's not scared. And without me being there, he still can do the job. And Paulie's position right now is in trouble. And I can do Paulie's position. And I think that's what he's scared of. But not that I would want to take it or anything. I am a woman of the 90s. Paulie Dangerously is scared of his own shadow.
Are you upset from the fact that he, when he signed this contract, that he specifically put in the contract of his own volition that you would not be allowed at ringside for the U.S. title match with Rude and now Nikita Koloff? What's your thoughts about that, not being able to be there for Ravishing Rick Rude? And the reason for you not being there is because Paulie Dangerously stipulated that you would be back in the locker room.
There is something behind this, and I don't know what Paulie is up to. There is something behind this, and as the plot thickens, he did this on purpose. I know he did. He told me to be by Rick's side by every moment to take care of him. Well, I have, and I still will continue. I think his position is that he wants to take over now, and he just wants him and Rick Rude.